About to get into a brand new episode of Klein Alley's show, but first let's tell you about our good friends at the finest airport that ever was and ever will be.
The San Bernardino International Airport. Especially when there's summer travel plans, it can get expensive at these airports. That's why you gotta go to this airport where parking is just $5 a day.
Plus, you got those easy trips, San Francisco or Provo, Utah. Maybe you didn't plan anything this summer. See how easy it is.
Don't be one of those people who has to pack your patience. Go to San Bernardino International Airport.
Okay, enough shilling. And now it's time to get into a brand new episode of Klein Alley's show.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Yeah, what a day to be alive. Congratulations. U.S. World Cup moving on. Mexico World Cup moving on. Round of 16.
Mexico versus England will be an interesting
That'll
match.
That'll be good. Are we playing Belgium next?
Why are you guys talking like you guys care all of a sudden?
This is weird.
What the hell is happening here? All of a sudden you guys are experts?
If the U.S. gets to the round of four, I will start caring.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
I'm kind of into it now that the knockout stage is here.
I thought the free kick was pretty exciting. I thought the match sucked.
At least I now understand what we're... At least now, all the other stuff I didn't really understand. It was too many numbers involved. Now we're in a place where I kind of get it, because now we're back to like March Madness rules for the most part.
I do have more notes though. Why won't you ever do a close-up? It's always the far, it's like the entire field and all the players are like these tiny little ants. I can barely see the ball getting kicked around. And I understand you want to get this bird's eye view, but like do a couple of jump cuts. Let me see the action a little bit closer every once in a while.
Yeah,
I can't tell who's who.
People want to watch plays develop, and if you zoom in on anyone, you miss the action.
Does Brown Fuck look the same to you?
Is that what you're saying, Allie?
I can't even see the numbers. I can't see anything.
Allie's saying, quote, all those brown folks look the same to her, if you're just joining us this morning on K-Rock. We say good morning to caller 20, which puts us on Samantha in Los Angeles, California. Samantha, good morning.
Good morning. No way.
You are going to go to not one, not two, but three water parks this summer. 4 tickets each water park. So get ready to pack your summer with lazy rivers and water slides, wild rivers, Knott's Soak City, Six Flags, Hurricane Harbor, Los Angeles. And those are all yours. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I would say that's the most fun thing happening this summer, but we learned yesterday that Allie's mom and her husband, Steve, husband number three, Steve, is going to have the most fun summer ever when they go away to Hawaii, because they've already decided that they're going to have hotel sex. A whole video up on our Instagram about it. A lot of people are sharing it and saying it's the most awkward, uncomfortable, and funny thing they've ever seen.
I had to get a weird FaceTime from them yesterday with them both sitting on the couch and Steve's arm around my mom. So I really loved the segment today.
Oh, boy. Really?
Like laughing. That was pretty funny. I'm like, all right. Anyway, moving on.
This guy's got an interesting theory about your stepdad and his sex life with your mom, Allie. And I think you, of all people, will appreciate that one of our listeners put this much thought into their theory.
Good morning, Klein Alley. Hey, Sue Kibitz. Allie, this is a call about your stepfather, Steve. I'm calling BS on the entire scenario. Specifically, I'm calling BS on your mom. Here's the deal. Your mom has acquired talent that every man on earth absolutely craves. They can very easily...
How does that make you feel?
It's disgusting.
Every man on earth craves your mom's talent. And we assume that she's great at this because she's had so many husbands.
My nausea is not...
Absolutely craves. They can very easily get out of the airport, get in the rental car, 15, 20-minute drive to the Airbnb. She can take care of Steve. They can walk in with smiles on their faces and go about their business and never skip a beat. It's your mom that needs to have the quickie before unpacking, etc.
So she's saying it's not that... See, this guy's theory is Steve isn't the one who needs his medicine. It's your mom who needs it. What do you think about that, Allie?
That's not... She doesn't need any medicine.
Sounds like she's the one who is sick and needs to be cured.
She's blaming it on Steve. She's trying to be the good wife.
She's not.
She's trying to be all nice and caring, but it's your mom who needs it. It's not Steve. Have a good day, guys.
So why don't you go ahead and think about that for a moment to go with your morning sickness.
Now, Steve needs his medicine, and my mom just needs an American spirit. Those are the needs.
All right. Well, now we got it. We get into this, and then a brand new hour of the show starts now on K-Rock. Good morning. K-Rock, Klein Alley Show. I'm never usually happy when someone loses their job, especially in this industry, because it's not an easy industry to work in and to stay in. It's difficult, and, it's the constant. The only thing that's been constant, Allie, since we started doing the show is that everyone's constantly getting laid off, fired, reassigned. We get a lot of emails around here that say it is with mixed emotions or bittersweetness or whatever the hell they say, where we've shown so-and-so the door and they're out of here. And it's rough, and it sucks to lose a job because we've all been there before. Allie and I got fired before on Christmas Eve. And
we got fired again before our second show even started.
Before our first show even started. We got fired before on our first day of job when we were supposed to work in San Diego. And they told us on the first day, you're not going on the air today or probably ever. So that sucked as well. But in this particular case, I think we should take a moment and talk about someone that was recently just fired from this company. Someone that tried to get us fired. Someone who's made it their mission to not let us be the morning show on K-Rock.
This was the person who said, you're not the guy.
I'm not the guy. That was his quote. Klein is not the guy. And he had lots of meetings behind our backs with lots of people, including...
Well, I thought it was the other guy who said that.
The two of them agreed.
Oh, man. I didn't know it stemmed from Steve.
Yeah, Steve was the guy. Man. And
was the guy. Who said he wasn't the guy?
So Steve was forced upon us. This was years ago when the show was just getting off the ground. He was our, quote, talent coach, and he gave us all of the tricks we had to do if we wanted to be a successful show, and his ideas pretty much all sucked, and we didn't do any of them.
Mm-hmm. God, the one that Omar pissed off?
Yes. Boy, Omar hated him right out of the gate.
Do you remember when he would make us do little homework where we would have to journal about our weekends, and then we would have to present our journal to him, and then he would use the first 5 minutes of the meeting to do his own weird bit, where he's like, I was buying another collared shirt, okay? Yeah. I went to the store to buy a collared
shirt. This guy is an example of a lot of people, where if you he was a failed radio personality that could his show sucked, and then he decided, well, if I can't do it, I'll just try to teach other people how to do it. And I've talked to quite a few people he's worked with in the industry, and they all say he's a snake oil salesman, and he gives everyone the same playbook, and if the shows do well, he takes credit, and if the shows don't do well, he blames the people. He tried to get us fired many times. He tried to hire our replacements out from under us. He even went so far as to post stupid things on his personal Facebook page looking for, I mean, it was some post he put up that said, K-Rock in L.A. needs a good morning show, and I'm sitting there reading this going, we are the more, what the hell is the guy talking about? So the guy was a real POS. He has just been apparently relieved of his duties at this company. And once again, I don't wish bad on anyone usually, and there's people on my enemy list. He was definitely on there. But I will say that he sends out these lists, Allie. We've talked about these before. These are Steve's pet peeves.
Before you get to the list, I'm bringing up an old email where Steve boiled down some of our personality traits based on our meetings.
Oh, really?
Yes. So he said, as we search for stories to tell, here are some things that I learned from the meeting that are boiled down into a spreadsheet.
Oh, God.
Klein, husband, no sex in a while. Bets on sports, sarcastic, male, educated, Jewish.
Educated? He put educated on my list?
A big city guy.
I'm a
big city guy.
Oh my God.
This guy. Allie, used to be fat. Pragmatic, likes cats.
Future fat again, by the way.
Lesbian, played sports, frugal, likes to hike. Clumsy and forgetful. Mm. Where did these... Omar, DJs on the side, owns real estate, is an entrepreneur and a person of color.
Person of color's on there? Are you for real?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, you gotta check the boxes, man.
I guess.
You gotta check the boxes.
You responded to this email and said, feel free to add future fatty to my chart.
Oh. It's funny. I do remember that when he did force us to start journaling... he asked me to send my first journal entry, and I said, some idiot made me go out and buy a journal. That was the first entry I put in the journal, and he did not like that at all. He didn't like when we'd called him out on his on his BS.
Yeah, he didn't know. He was very sensitive, which I didn't realize because he was so like, hey, everyone just shares everything here, and we're all just being honest. Let's get to the truth of, your personality and radio and life.
And I know this seems self-serving, and everything we're doing now would go against his rules of radio. We're definitely in Steve's pet peeves right now because we're making it about us instead of about the listener. But I will say that if you've ever worked for someone that had the power over your future and you knew that they were making terrible decisions that were going to affect you in a bad way and you didn't have the power to do anything about it, it really sucks. It's a very helpless feeling that I'm sure you can relate with. And I do recall a few back and forth where we basically said, you got to make a decision. We're not working with this guy anymore at all. So if that's the play, then we're out. And luckily, K-Dub, our boss, came back when he did because it's the only thing that gave us any ability to keep doing the show that we wanted to do for you. All he wanted to do was make K-Rock like every other stupid morning show in the
world.
Right,
and we were trying to make that point this is
K-Rock
very
different.
Is different.
It's always been different. It will always be different. It's why K-Rock is what K-Rock is. It's the one reason why K-Rock is universally known, loved and or hated, but
it
universally
known.
It has
its own clear identity.
And for us to try to do some stupid bit that you're doing in Tuscaloosa because it's working there, we're not doing that in Los Angeles. I'm sorry.
And it wasn't about helping us come up with our own ideas.
No,
it was about, hey, why don't you share your life? Yeah. Okay, now here's a game that works really great.
And we had
in
to
Idaho.
Listen to hours and hours of the world's worst radio, and he would play it for us and then say, now you guys go do this.
Yeah.
And we go, I don't want to do that.
And then during one of the meetings, he said, you need to get into the game within 5 seconds, just like they do on Wheel of Fortune. And Omar said, hold on a minute. Are we trying to be Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah.
And he got very upset about that.
Steve, thank you for your continued support of this show from the very beginning. I know that we couldn't be where we are today if it was not for you and all of your amazing insight into how radio works. And I greatly appreciate every moment you spent with us. And I feel bad for all of the other shows that you've probably bamboozled along the way as well.
You can add us to your list of pet peeves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. One time I remember he took a bit we did. I think we called your sister, your hot sister. And he put it on his website. He's like, another one of my successful shows. And I think that was a bit he told us to stop doing. He's like, don't call Ali. And then he made it seem like it was his idea.
Yeah, that was so cringe. And then didn't he put out an ad on Facebook?
Yes,
for our jobs.
Yeah, looking for us. Yeah. But anyway, there's a long list of things that he doesn't like in radio. And I think we've probably broken all of those in this conversation. But thank you for continuing to listen, to support, to put up with us, to get us to where we are today here on K-Rock.
According to Steve, we're not supposed to make jokes about 69.
Yeah, here's one of his pet peeves. Read this. Can I get Omar? I know Vanessa says we're now late. Can I get some dramatic music as I read you one of Steve's pet peeves?
Yes, hold on.
This is what he doesn't like in radio.
Okay, hold on.
And then I'll take a break, Vanessa, I promise. I know we got Johnny Doesn't Know coming up in a moment. Chance for you to win your way Monster Jam coming up. If you want to play, you can call 800-520-1067.
That's a tease, by the way.
He doesn't like what we're doing right now either because we're stalling the giveaways. Here we go. When something suggestive...
This is the song you picked.
When something suggestive is said, like, quote...
Let's see what this one is.
Steve would have never let this happen.
There we go.
This is Steve's pet peeve, number 6A. When something suggestive is said, like it's 69 degrees right now outside, don't let the show devolve into bad versions of Beavis and Butthead by laughing at the stupid 69 joke. Just say it and move on to whatever you have next, or change the temperature to 70 or 68 so it doesn't allow your team...
Does it really say that?
Oh, yeah. Because he doesn't want it to be funny. I'll read you another Steve's pet peeves. Vanessa likes this. Don't use words like upchuck, throwing up, poop, vomit, or what I call stop listening words. Instead, say things like, instead of saying I was up all night barfing, you can say I'm sick to my stomach. The audience knows what you're saying, and you're not using cringy words that will make a portion of your audience turn away because they're too graphic. That's another Steve's pet peeves.
All right. I just feel like this waters down natural speech.
The problem with radio, but guys like that are the problem, and thank you for putting up with us. We'll be right back with some of your tickets for you to go to Monster Jam. Johnny Doesn't Know after this quick break. I'm K-Rock. We are Klein Alley Show. We are together today, and we will continue to give you stuff right now. Nothing more America than Monster Jam tickets. That is happening on July 17th. Great seats still available at AXS.com, Monster Jam at Crypto.com Arena. I believe, Allie, we were at Monster Jam not too long ago. And it's always a good time to see them trucks flip over.
Sparkle smash.
It is. Made me proud to be an American. In a moment, you'll be proud to be an American as we get into a little round of Johnny Doesn't Know America. Although someone says Johnny Doesn't Know, it's time to retire this bit.
You know, I think Johnny Doesn't Know is way too played out of a segment and should be retired. But I think it should be, I think it should be changed out to therapy time with Johnny with relationship counseling because... His deciphering of the breakup text that Jake received on the Showtime, that was freaking spot on. And, yeah, I think, obviously, he's probably the best on the show as far as dating advice goes, yeah, and I think that that should be a regular segment. That was pretty good, and that was underrated.
So in the Showtime podcast that happened yesterday, you can download wherever you get your podcast. Jake shared with us some breakup text messages that he received, although he didn't realize they were breakup messages, but they clearly were. And Johnny explained exactly what they meant, you know, what was
he
really
being
said.
He noticed three red flags within the message, and yeah, he was very astute about his observations.
Johnny, we may have to add that to the add to the list of things we do around here, dating advice with Johnny. Right now, though, still not retired. It's time for Johnny Doesn't Know America. Here we go. Hit it.
Johnny doesn't know.
And I was like, okay.
Oh, Johnny doesn't know.
I didn't know Vegas was like in Nevada for like a while.
Johnny doesn't know. Johnny doesn't know.
Gelato sounds like Jello.
Johnny doesn't know.
It like goes wiggles.
Johnny, you spent all of your life in this country. Most of your life in this state, as a matter of fact.
Damn right.
Only left the state one time, and that's when you claim you went to San Diego. And then you realized that was not out of state.
Yeah, I thought it was Legoland. And I thought we had left to go to Legoland, but we were only in California still.
Right, so.
Which is still in California.
Then he actually was forced to leave the state when we went to Vegas, and he immediately got in a car and drove back to California.
Yep.
You don't think you'll have a desire when you get older to see America?
I do. I know exactly, like, when I have kids, I'm not going to want them to live like this, and I know something within me is going to, like, snap, and then I'm going to be, like, flying everywhere.
Let me ask you, you
have this girlfriend now. You just moved in with her this past week. Don't you think she's going to want you to take her on a trip somewhere?
We've already had this conversation, and she wants me to go back to her family and see them in the state they're from, and I plan to do that.
Is it a long flight?
It's like a four-hour flight.
Ooh.
Was that East Coast?
No, it's like Tennessee.
Oh, man.
And which is a great music town.
Yeah, you would probably like it out there.
I would kill it on Tennessee Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I'd love it over there, but like, not yet. Not yet.
Let's find out how much Johnny knows about this country of ours as we celebrate 250 years, 4th of July on Saturday. And today it's an opportunity for you to lock in. Will Johnny know or not know? Answers to pretty easy questions about the country. And we start with a man named after a fine city of ours, Philly. This is Philly from Van Nuys. Welcome to Johnny Doesn't Know Philly. Good morning.
Grand Rising, Sweet Dibbits.
Sweet Dibbits to you, good sir. If someone requests your John Hancock, what are they asking for? Will Johnny know the answer to this, yes or no?
I always have faith in Johnny. I say yes. That's
Johnny, nice. This guy has faith in you. He thinks you'll know. If someone says, hey, Johnny, let me see your John Hancock, what are they asking for?
Now, this sounds like a little bit male prostitute, kind of. Like, it's like if a gay guy goes up to you and he's like, you're straight. Okay, you're the straight guy. The gay guy comes up to you and he's like, let me see your John Hancock. He's trying to discreetly say, show me your genitals. Show me your penis.
You think this is a question about America?
Queers, yeah. And he's trying
to... I got a jug of jizz.
Exactly.
Nothing more American than queers.
Yeah.
Johnny, is that a real answer?
Someone says, let me
get your John Hancock.
I mean, I've never said that to you.
No.
And I've never heard you say it to Jake or anybody else who's straight here.
Right.
Is that disproving your own argument?
So it must be queer, you're saying.
It's got to be like a gay dude trying to see another man's penis.
Okay. But Philly, you said Johnny would know. You had faith in him. I'm so sorry. And maybe, Allie, I don't know, maybe in the gay community.
There's nothing about that I know of.
Not in the industry.
Johnny, once again, if someone says, let me see your John Hancock or I need your John Hancock right here. They are referring to your signature, your autograph.
My signature.
But I would love to watch the interaction happen.
Imagine if someone said that to Johnny.
You whip your D out.
So Johnny's going to sign a new contract. We need your John Hancock, and Johnny just pulls his P again. This is how I got the job to begin with. It's a signature.
That's gross.
A signature?
Yeah.
Never heard that. When I go to the bank, they don't say, let me get your John Hancock.
It's an old you know.
Thing, it's right? American because John Hancock is the guy who signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I believe he was the first signature.
He took the big signature. They took up all this, so that became like the most...
That was like in Tommy Boy. Like,
yeah.
You remember Tommy Boy?
Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, you know.
Herbie.
Shout out Hancock. Hancock, baby.
We go on to Peter in Long Beach. That was a journey. Peter, does Johnny know America? That's the question in this edition of Johnny Doesn't Know. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right, Johnny, what's wrong with the Liberty Bell? Will Johnny know this, yes or no?
You know what? I'm sure he read this to his kids at the school he taught, so yes.
Okay, so you think when Johnny was a teacher, he must have taught kids this. Johnny, what is currently wrong with the Liberty Bell?
Yeah, Peter, I'm right. I mean, you're right. I actually did do that. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
got a little too excited. Peter, you're right. I actually did read this to the kids when I was a preschool TA. There's a huge crack in the Liberty Bell.
Nice job, Johnny.
Look at that. Big crack. Liberty Bell and Johnny's skull both have something in common. Yep. Hold on 1 second, Peter.
We went from Hancock to crack.
We move on now to Mario in Riverside. So write down that guy's name. He's okay. Got a shot at going to Monster Jam. What's up, Mario? Johnny, what's up, popular toy, stuffed animal more specifically, was named after a U.S. president? Will Johnny know this, yes or no?
It's kind of childish sometimes. He's going to know.
All right. Says you will know.
What is a Teddy Ruxpin? Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, man.
Damn, was that not the answer? That was a pretty good, deep cut.
You're close, dude. It's the teddy bear.
Teddy bear. Teddy bear. Let's go Teddy. Teddy Ruxpin is a teddy bear.
Right.
I knew that because of you guys.
Do you think we had a president, Teddy Ruxpin?
Well, yeah, Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
Theodore. He was the fat guy. He was the one that got stuck in the tub.
Okay, hold on, Mario. We'll say Johnny got that right. I mean,
get it right.
Teddy. He got a teddy. Good work, Johnny.
Hey, thank you, man.
I thought he was going to say something like shoots in Obama's or something. I didn't know if Johnny had any.
The old president problems we have was just the fat guy who got stuck in the tub.
I almost said G.I. Joe's, but that's not right, though.
We move on to Alexander in Long Beach now. It's Johnny Doesn't Know, America. Everyone who gets theirs right, Allie writes your name down. One of you is going to go to Monster Jam, see some monster trucks. Nothing more American than that. Johnny, here's your next question. Good morning, Alexander on K-Rock. Hi.
Yo, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. Johnny, this person helped Lewis and Clark. It was a woman, and she helped Lewis and Clark explore and make their way west. What was her name? Will Johnny know this, Alexander?
I'm going to put my faith in Johnny. I'm going to say he doesn't know it, and if he does, then just say you don't know it.
Okay, this guy is saying throw it if you do know it, but he doesn't think you will because he wants to win. Who is the name of this woman, Johnny?
That explanation he gave kind of like threw me through a loop.
Yeah, that was confusing.
I do know the answer. My cousin went to that college, Lewis and Clark College, and the answer is Sacagawea.
Johnny smoked your ass. Johnny knew that one.
And she's on the gold coin, too.
Yes, she is.
Little girl on the coin.
Yep, little girl on the coin.
That's all I'm going to leave it at.
That is her legacy.
This is the final one now, and a lot of people have predicted it correct. Actually, only two people have predicted correctly today. Paul in Upland, we give you the final shot of Johnny Doesn't Know America now. And here we go. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, we did. Shout out, Nutbangers.
Shout out to everyone watching along on YouTube right now. What did Bob Woodward and Bernstein expose? This is American history right now. What did Woodward and Bernstein expose? Will Johnny know this, yes or no?
Definitely not.
All right, Johnny. He says definitely not.
I don't know at all because I've heard those two names, but I only heard him in the movie Dazed and Confused. When he uses the names as an insult, he's like, Woodward, Bernstein. But that's it. I don't know what those guys did, though.
You want to take a guess?
Was it World War II stuff? Or is it kind of like Vietnam stuff?
They exposed World War II? All of it?
World War II stuff. Or Vietnam stuff?
That's what you think?
I don't know. Am I close in those eras of when they existed?
Well, you've jumped around a bunch of eras there. You just went from the 40s to the 60s.
Okay, let's go Cowboys then.
Okay. Bernstein. They exposed Cowboys?
They exposed...
How did we get gayer?
I don't know.
I said, hey, Cowboy, let me see your John Hancock.
It's all coming
anyway,
together.
Back to business as usual.
No, Johnny, I'm sorry. They were the people who exposed what happened at the Watergate Hotel with Nixon.
Oh, Forrest Gump was looking and he saw the lights and he was like, there's somebody over there.
That's right. You got it. All right. Well, Paul.
Is that what happened?
Paul also didn't think you would get it. That's right. Forrest Gump was very much involved in U.S. history. Allie, Mario, Paul, Peter all got theirs right. Who's going to go see some monster trucks?
Okay. That would be Mario. Congratulations.
Hey, Mario. Yeah. You're going to Monster Jam. Congratulations. Enjoy yourself some trucks. Quick break.
I'll be good at Monster Jam.
After Justice and Tame Impala, and we'll come back. We'll do some ADD news, and then a whole nother show of the hour to get into because we ain't getting out of here early. I mean, let's not talk about tomorrow, right? But we're not getting out of here early today. Still got a lot of show to get to, and we will get to all of it after this on K-Rock. Good morning. K-Rock Klein Alley Show. Get into some ADD news in a moment. Then a brand new hour of the show will begin with more tickets for you to go to the water park. Quickly, though, as part of our Funner Summer Challenge, Alley, as you know, is still attempting to have some sort of a one-night stand or maybe even a threesome with her wife. And we have an update. Very exciting update waiting for you on the goat line, Alley.
I heard Alley's wife say she would only be interested if the other, like the third person, looks like Taylor Swift.
And that's crazy because that eliminates a lot of the population. If your wife said she would only do it if the person maybe resembled Taylor Swift, that eliminates 99.999% of the world.
Yes, but I think it also needs to either be Taylor Swift or it needs to be somebody who looks like her and that she jives with.
Right. So this woman heard that.
And guess what? I look like Taylor Swift.
We have a listener that claims that she looks just like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but even Taylor Swift is kind of like...
Well, but the wife wants her, though. It's not about what you're into. You would happily have that. You're right. Your wife's going to, if you're the one proposing it, she gets to pick the person.
Yeah. All right, I'm interested.
And so this woman
more.
Said she's interested.
And I was thinking, and I am definitely not interested in doing a threesome with Allie and her wife. Oh. And I have a strong suspicion it's going to be really hard to find somebody who looks like Taylor Swift. Anyway... I love you, Allie. I just don't
want to
sleep with you.
Oh, man. I thought we had one there.
You and every other woman I know.
I love you. I just don't want to sleep with you. That's the hardest thing to have to hear.
Click another one.
We take a quick break. We'll let Allie soak in that for a moment.
I can't believe she called the go line just to tell me that.
I look exactly like the person you're looking for.
I could make your dreams come true,
but
I don't
I'm
want that.
Not interested.
Have a nice day.
And I'll be right back. Just to get the ups and downs, the roller coaster Jeez. That is this show. Your news is next.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News.
T-minus 2 days until 4th of July fireworks begin. So if you are thinking about buying some, be careful because the cops swear there is a big crackdown this year.
I think your mic is sideways or backwards or something. If you want to turn it around. There you go. There she is.
Who was in here? There are counties that are issuing drones that will narc you out if you light illegal fireworks in your neighborhood. And they've already arrested dozens of people that are selling illegal fireworks by pretending to buy them.
Deputies say that they have managed to arrest at least 48 people accused of illegally selling powerful fireworks that far exceed California's regulations. These fireworks, they say, could be dangerous to people, could explode in their hands, right. or could cause fires on rooftops. Mm. We follow deputies today here in Paramount as they posed as buyers for online illegal fireworks. They had the seller come here to Paramount, and then they just made an arrest here at a gas station. In the back of their car, you could see all of these boxes of illegal fireworks.
So
deputies
cool.
say in the last 2 weeks, they've caught people selling more than 3,300 pounds of illegal fireworks worth $50,000 on the street.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they're just finding these buyers online. Like, hey, looking for some illegal fireworks. And then some idiot's like, hey, I got them for you. Do you want to meet at this gas station? Like, I thought that it was a little more convoluted than that.
No, well, Omar's guy had a whole plan because you had to meet him somewhere and wait somewhere. And I think they wanted to make sure that you weren't
size me up.
You weren't the fuzz. Yeah, right. You got to make sure you're not going to narc him out. But yeah, you got to be careful when you buy it. It's a game. It's all part of a game. It's a fun game.
It just seems like you should get caught if you're this stupid selling illegal fireworks.
Yeah, Allie, remember how much fun we talked about how buying weed used to be, and now it's not as much fun anymore. Now it's great. You go into a million stores, you just buy whatever you want.
Yeah, but finding the parking lots, the back alleys, also coming up with the code words.
Finding
we would call, hey, I want a Henry, which meant Henry the Eighth, because you want to eat the weed.
Right. It was
Everybody
fun.
Had their
all
own
the,
thing.
All the fun of finding weed, getting it, maybe it was really good because the guy got some, you know, Northern Lights that came in that morning.
Yeah, you never knew what you were going to get.
It was a great, fun experience, and most people now don't get to experience that. Similar with fireworks. I've been to, like, a legal fireworks stand before when I was, like, you know, on the East Coast and in the Deep South. And I went into one of those, like, firework warehouses. And it's pretty incredible in the sense of, like, you walk in there and they just have everything.
It's so colorful, right?
It's so colorful. And it's like a giant Costco full of all fireworks and everything explodes. But also there's something cool about what's happening now where you got to go. You got to know someone who knows someone to get the illegal ones.
The effort is part of the fun.
The effort is part of the fun. And then when you get them, people respect that. People respect it. But
people respect it when you eventually
California,
blow your finger
They don't have a good sense of humor about fireworks here. That's for sure.
A sad diagnosis yesterday for Danny Glover, an actor who I would definitely say is universally loved by the public. I mean, Lethal Weapon movies, The Color Purple, and the highly underrated comedy with Martin Short, Pure Luck. Watch that if you haven't seen it yet. He shared that he has Alzheimer's, which is such a tough disease to live with. and to spell. He'll be 80 later this month, and here is how he shared the news.
Diagnosed for oral solid. But I could live with it, in a sense.
Do you fear losing your memories?
What a sad question to ask. I mean, I guess you have to ask it, but it's like, of course, who wouldn't be sad or scared?
Is that hard?
I'm sure as it advances, things are going to be different and changing.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, he's like, it's okay now. I've learned to live with it. But, of course, as it progresses, it's going to get even more difficult. And I imagine that if you... Oh, there it is.
Klein.
That's not...
How dare you?
That's not me.
Dude, it's too soon.
I'm not doing an impression of Danny Glover. Man. I don't know where that clip is from or what it's about.
It's both ageist and racist.
Danny Glover, back me up on this, man. Hello? You there, Danny? No?
You waiting for him?
You know, it's funny. People, as soon as this news broke yesterday, said that once again, the Klein Alley Show mush has come through. Don't you guys play some stupid song that mentions Danny Glover? What a random mention. And now he is the story of this Alzheimer's. Listen to this.
Gosh, we haven't played that in forever.
We can't be blamed for that. We have not played this in forever, but I think the last time we did play this on the air, it was when Alley's secret was that she was pregnant the first time. And this is the song.
Is your bush real big? Do you have seven kids? Is your cousin your lover? Do you know Danny Glover? Got a secret.
That was the intro for Got a Secret. Oh. And we haven't played that in a while, but that was a shout out Danny Glover.
If you do know Danny Glover, it's probably a tough day for you.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
What? He's not dead.
Oh, he's not? I only half listened to the story.
Jesus, are you checked out already?
That's right.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
I got a text about some illegal fireworks I can buy, but I got to act quick.
Okay, listen to this. When you are in Vegas, where are you least likely to win when you are gambling? Think about it. The unluckiest slot machines in the city.
In the airport.
They are all sitting at Harry Reid International Airport. Yeah, it is your last ditch effort to break even before that final walk of shame onto your plane. And now a man has won $3.3 million on the Wheel of Fortune slot machine near the Seagates at Las Vegas Airport.
I played you Seagate slots in Vegas.
And the stupid airport.
I missed a flight one time because I was playing those Seagate slots. The whole flight boarded.
I think we played these together.
Yeah, love those Seagate slots.
I mean, Harry Reid International Airport put out this whole post congratulating this person, this one lucky traveler who, and it says, now that's one way to spend a layover. So I don't even know if they were in Vegas, if they were really there on a layover. How lucky is that?
Oh, man, I have a layover in Vegas in about 9 days.
You got Omar. You got to play the slots. Although now this guy got the good money, so there's nothing left.
It's all gone.
I mean, when is this going to happen again? How often has Harry Reid International Airport been able to share these congratulatory...
I saw some story that talked about how the odds at the airport slots, I mean, they're bad. You know, they're always stacked against you as the player, but they are like 10 times worse at the airport because they know that they have no competition there. And you're probably a real degenerate if you're playing at the airport.
And it's either you have leftover money, like, hey, I've got this leftover cash, let's just see what happens, or you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole.
I can't go home and tell my
scenarios.
I can't tell my wife what really happened. I got to win it all back. I'm one pull away
at the Seagates.
Oh, come on, baby.